Good afternoon and welcome to the Boldness on 3CR 8:55 AM. The Boldness is about lived experience of disability. My name is Raf. It's this time of the year, we're talking all things Melbourne Fringe. And today I have been joined by Sophie Smith, the star of
The Subplot. Get in, babes. We're going to the bottom of the North Atlantic.
What a great line that Sophie Smith talking about the Submersive show at Melbourne Fringe Festival. Now, what inspired the show Hyperfixation on the Submersive?
Well, that's the million-dollar question, I think. I just got so hooked on this story when it happened, and like everyone did, I think. It was all that was in the news for nearly a week, and I just never let it go. I just kept wanting to know more. I kept wanting to try and figure out how this happened and why this happened and who was involved. And I developed this quite intense hyperfixation that hasn't left. And I am doing the only thing that I can think to do, which is charge people to come and hear me talk about it. I wanted to create a show about this topic that I really, really care about now and that I have a very strangely deep relationship with. And I'm really excited to share this story.
We were talking a little bit earlier about Australia having the tall poppy syndrome, so I'm going to build you up a little bit here.
Do it.
It sounds like you are the expert in Australia about the Submersive, basically the public expert, you know, everything there is, because you've immersed yourself in the disaster, studying the US Coast Guard's public hearing, poring over redacted documents, articles, books, documentaries and podcasts until it consumes every part of your life.
Correct.
When are you appearing on Mastermind on this special topic?
You know, I've thought about this. I've thought Mastermind or Hard Quiz, which one should I go for? I've been a bit busy writing this show, but I would say I reckon at least in Australia, if not the world, like I genuinely do think I'm one of very few people in the world that knows the most about this topic. There's a very small community and it's growing smaller as the event grows further and further in the rearview mirror. I love it. I love everything about it. I mean, I don't love that people died. I will say that. I am just so fascinated by this story.
Undoubtedly that you've got your own take. It sounds like, what style of performance, how would you describe it?
A dark comedy. It's solo, so just me, solo storytelling. And there's a lot of multimedia because, of course, there has been a lot of media involved in this incident. So there's a lot of tech in the show. There might even be a song. There's a bit of everything. But yeah, I'd say it's a comedy, but it's also talking about some quite serious things and obviously a real true story where people did die. So we are going to be talking about that too.
Well, is that Sophie? Who knows? Maybe on a PlayStation, this could be the latest game, Sophie Smith's version of Choose Your Own Adventure.
I love it. I love it.
Now, it actually kind of like when we're describing it as a very dark comedy, well, I suppose it would get very, very, very dark. You said after the search and rescue operations were deployed and oxygen countdowns expired, well, I dare say it would get pretty dark under the sea, wouldn't it?
Pretty dark and cold down there, I've heard. not that I've been myself. I'm actually kind of afraid of the ocean, which is so bizarre that now I'm kind of hyperfixated on it. Yeah, very cold and dark down there. Also, like it kind of is upstairs in my brain sometimes. Figured out a lot of parallels between the submergence in the ocean and how it feels sometimes to be submerged yourself in hyperfixation when you kind of get on that train tracks. Sometimes it doesn't stop. It can be really isolating and wonderful and joyful. But yeah, there can be times when you watch or you kind of don't even realize that the sun has gone down 5 hours ago and you have forgotten where you are and what you're doing and you haven't eaten and you don't know where your family is. You know, it can be quite an interesting experience.
Like the roller coaster of life.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Man, no hands.
Literally,
but we're going to start talking it through about from an accessible perspective with the show that it sounds like it's got a lot of multimedia, which would be, I guess, pictures, videos, music. How accessible is that?
Obviously, I'm autistic and also ADHD. We're trying to create the show from a place that's accessible for me as a performer, but also for the audience. I will say the show follows a descent into the ocean. And so if you're claustrophobic, just be warned that, yeah, we're trying to make the experience as immersive as possible. And yeah, there is a lot of media in it. Like you said, images, videos, sound bites, maybe a song. It's partially accessible, I would say, to deaf and blind people because it does rely a lot on those elements. And we also have a relaxed performance, which is at 3:45 on Saturday the 4th.
Well, as I said, we'll get through those dates a little bit later on. But what does a relaxed performance mean for your show?
Great question. Well, and I think relaxed performances kind of have varying, what's the word? I guess parameters, depending on where you are. Our performance is also a low sensory performance. What that means in conjunction with it being relaxed is that there is a lower number of patrons, so there'll be only 50% of tickets that will be sold, so it'll be space. We also really encourage masks if you are disabled and you would prefer to come to a show where masks are encouraged. That's the show to do it. And also the house lights are going to be up for a little bit longer. We're going to make adjustments to the volume and to basically anything that's kind of coming at you from the stage. There'll also be a breakout space and an open door policy, open phone policy. And I believe that we'll also have some fidget toys. I think Fringe has some fidget toys. Don't quote me on that. If they don't, I will have them. It's, I guess, just trying to make the experience as accessible and as approachable for particularly my community. Because the show is about being autistic and I want as many of my fellow autists to be able to also experience it in a way that is comfortable for them.
With the actual venue itself, if I was using a mobility aid such as a scooter or a stroller or a wheelchair, would I be able to go in?
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're at the Festival Hub, which is at Trades Hall. And it is wheelchair accessible, and that's great. I've certainly performed in venues where it hasn't been, and I have made it a a point that I didn't want to do this show if I can't get my community in to see it.
Why is it important that members of the disability community are able to access and see your shows? Why is that community so important?
There's so many reasons. I mean, community is why we exist, I think, as humans. It's what we're programmed for, is connection with other humans. We live in a society, unfortunately, that is built around able-bodied people and neurotypical people. It is really hard to exist in that world sometimes. Being able to connect with other people who are like you and who have brains that work in a similar way, it's kind of life-saving. Being authentically represented on stage or in media in general is one of the things that I'm really passionate about, but it's also something that I lead with in all of my work, is providing that authentic representation, because I know that it's so important to see that you're not alone, because that can save lives. So,
and speaking of saving lives, we're talking about the very serious things that trigger warnings and content warnings. What type of content warnings would you like to let audiences know about?
Yeah, there is some mention of some disability slurs. We do talk about RFK Jr. And there is some talk about suicidal ideation, also death, because obviously in this story, some lives couldn't be saved. So we are going to be talking about death, and also there is I know for sure there is an animation of what happens to a body during an implosion. I'm trying as much in the show to signpost those things throughout so that they're not just sprung on you. But yeah, there are a couple of the content things that will be mentioned in the show.
Having things like the event warning, is there any audience interaction?
A little bit. There's not participation, so, because yeah, I know that just fills me with anxiety when you're in an audience and someone says, "I'm coming to get you," and then you've got to do something. Nightmare. So there's none of that. But I will be talking directly to the audience and I'll be asking questions. And I'm totally okay if people don't want to answer them as well. But yeah, there's some very light audience interaction in that sense.
There might be some sudden loud noises, but that's why they're kind of like sudden and unexpected. That's what sometimes does happen. And how about the type of lighting? Are there any strobe lights or very bright lights?
No, there'll be stage lights, obviously focused on me, which will be bright for me, but hopefully not for the audience, because they'll be directly in my eyes. No strobes, no flashing lights, nothing like that.
We're looking for the one reason that people should go and see Subplot Hyperfixation on the Submersive. What would actually happen if it was a deep sea odyssey of titanic proportions? And so you'd say something like, "Get in, babes. We're going to the bottom of the North Atlantic Ocean." And to get those type of tickets, where would you buy tickets to Subplot Hyperfixation on the Submersive?
You can grab them on melbournefringe.com.au. Just type in the Subplot and you should see me there with my big eyes and my tiny model figure of the Titan.
Right, and you've just rung a very quick visual description there. That's what we call access and inclusion for radio.
Yes, yes. They've always said I've got a great face for radio. That's a great point. The image, the poster image of me is the top half of my face with my eyes sort of bulging in excitement, and I'm looking at this tiny, intricate model figurine of a submersible, which is kind of like a submarine, which has been described in the shape of happy sperm, I'm not sure if that's how I would phrase it, but that's how, that's what they use to describe it. It's sort of like a, kind of like a teardrop shape, cylindrical deep sea vessel that's mostly white. And I'm gazing at it lovingly.
Well, very, very quickly then, what's it been like working with Melbourne Fringe Festival to get your show ready?
It's been great. It's my first time doing Fringe. I've done some other festivals, but I haven't done Melbourne Fringe, and I am so excited. They've been fantastic. They're so supportive of artists and really supportive of inclusion first, which is incredible. So yeah, I'm so looking forward to it.
How was funding organized? Did you get a micro grant?
I did get a micro grant from the Ralph McLean Fund, which has been so hugely useful because obviously it's, you know, as independent artists, very hard to put your own funds and time into it is very costly. So that's been a huge help in getting the show up.
We are very, very fast running out of our time together.
Yes.
It's a bit like in the submersive. So it's time for us to say farewell to Sophie Smith and bon voyage to Sophie Smith. So thank
you. And I will see you in the sub.
Excellent. And getting babes, we're going to the bottom of the North Atlantic Ocean. Thank you very much to Sophie Smith for coming in, talking with the boldness about her show, Subplot, Hyperfixation on the Submersive. Thank you again for your time. Keep listening to 3CR 855 AM. Thank you.
Thanks, Raph.